Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to jump into embracing Pentecost again. Who's ready to embrace Pentecost? How many can remember the whole sermon from last week? Good stuff. Amen. Thank you for that. All right. Acts chapter 1, 4, and 5. It says, "He commanded them." Say commanded. He didn't suggest it. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. Say wait. Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Luke 24:45, "Then he thoroughly opened their minds." This is after the resurrection. He taught them for 40 days. 40 is the type of preparation. 40 is the length of a pregnancy. 40 weeks of preparation. For 40 days, he taught them about the kingdom. He flooded them. He filled them with revelation on the reign of the King of Glory. And then he ascended and he said, "Go, and I want you to wait in Jerusalem for the power from on high." It says he thoroughly opened their minds to understand the scriptures. How many know if Jesus thoroughly opened your mind to understand the scriptures, that would be the best Bible school ever? I mean, you didn't open your mind and try to grasp what he was saying. He thoroughly opened your mind and he poured in his revelation. That must have been a massive download of glory. How many know if he did it for them, he'll do it for you? It says it in Corinthians. It says that the Spirit, that we have the mind of Christ, it says the Spirit will reveal to us and bring revelation to all things, even the deep, unfathomable things of God, the Spirit wants to reveal to us. Amen. Now, Cheryl did a good job today. Didn't she do a good job? You know, Cheryl did that because her mom and dad are here. No, Cheryl's always awesome, but it's good to have Cheryl's mom and dad with us today. That's awesome to have you. Holy Ghost, you can't just have the word. I mean, he said, now wait, after all of that Bible knowledge, after packing them with that revelation on the kingdom, you would think with all of that teaching and all of that learning, I mean, my mind filled with revelation from Jesus himself, you would think I'm ready to go plant a church. But he said, no, don't do anything. And then there was a 10-day testing period. 10 is a type of testing. And it wasn't until the 10th day, it wasn't until the full complete test, because you can't do a thing, even if you've got all knowledge of the Word of God, like the Apostle Paul had it fully memorized when he was a Jew of Jews, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, he had it all under control up here, but he didn't have the revelation of Jesus Christ, he didn't have the revelation of the power of Pentecost, he didn't have the Spirit of God filling him, and you know, when that happened, his life was revolutionized. But he said, wait, you gotta have Pentecost. How many know you cannot have church without Pentecost? Doesn't mean that, you know, well, we should all be Pentecostal, whatever that means. But you know what? Every one of us have to embrace there is another experience beyond Passover. See, in the old covenant, they had Passover, they had Pentecost, and then they had harvest. And we're waiting for harvest. That's when Jesus is going to come. And you know what? All the other feasts were fulfilled in a day. The last one's going to be fulfilled in a day, and that day is coming. I think it's coming quickly. But you see, you can't just have Passover, you must have Pentecost. And the word Pentecost is literally just means 50. He commanded them, he said, go and wait just as the Father promised. Stay in the city until the Holy Spirit comes on you and fills you with power from heaven. Power from heaven. Pentecost, compound word, 5 and 0 equals 50. That's all it means. It just means 5 and 0, 50. What does it mean to be a Pentecostal? It means that I've gone through Passover, I've gone through the baptism in water, but I've also embraced this experience, a further experience of where the Spirit of God, I am saturated and pickled in him because Jesus himself baptizes me in the Holy Ghost and fire. Say fire. All right, Catherine Kuhlman's favorite verse, 2 Corinthians 13:14. Her favorite verse. I was privileged to sit under Catherine Kuhlman's ministry and see her in action in her crusades. Life-changing stuff revolutionized a 9-year-old boy forever. Powerful stuff. But she had a living, vital relationship with the Holy Spirit. She literally would there in front of everybody have a living, vital experience with the Holy Ghost, where she and the Holy Ghost were actively engaged, involved in revolutionizing people's lives. It was watching somebody do a beautiful, it looked like a dance with the Holy Ghost, revealing his revelation, his wisdom, his love, and his grace to a multitude of people. But you see, that's not random. That's not something that very few people should have. These people, I was just about going to make time fly just like that. But, I mean, these people are just signs and wonders. These people, their lives are calling every one of us up higher. These are people who are equipping us, opening windows, opening doors, saying, come up here. I mean, God's not looking for a bunch of superstars. He's looking for a revelation of every single person actualized in the fullness of his power and his purpose. So Pentecost is not optional. I mean, Jesus commanded them, come on, you need to have that experience. But her favorite verse was, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Now the message, it says this, it says, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Come on, that's good stuff right there. You know what? You get in because you get a revelation of the grace of Jesus Christ. And when you get a revelation of his grace, and it brings you in the knowledge of the love of the Father. He loves me. The Father is absolutely nuts about me. I am to die for. And that is all to bring you into what Jesus came to do, to get us all saturated and baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's a good place to grunt or do something. All right. So beautiful progression, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. You need to be sure that the Holy Spirit really is your closest friend. Come on. You know, I know they say dogs are a man's best friend. Like dogs, we got a dog now. He's a Rottweiler. I don't know if that's a German breed or what it is, but he might be a German dog, but he's a French kisser. So it's terrible stuff. Stop that. It's just... But, you know, dogs are awesome. It's awesome when you can lock them in a cage for hours, come home, they jump out, and they kiss you. You go, oh, so good to see you. I locked you up for hours. I don't care. You're my best friend. So, okay, anyway, so that's good. All right, now we want to talk about the Holy Spirit today. So look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, right here, right at the start. All right, here's the Spirit. Now, sometimes it's difficult for us to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit because the whole idea of Holy Spirit, where did that come from? Like that name itself. And then the authorized version, the King James calls it Holy Ghost. Like how do you have a relationship with a ghost? You know, is it Casper the Friendly Ghost? What? It's hard. How do I do this? So sometimes the language is odd. But really, the language was not odd in the original translation. In the original translation, it was simply ruach. Ruach, which means to breathe or wind. To breathe or wind. I don't know why they didn't say the breath of God, the wind of God, but we decided to, translators decided Holy Ghost instead of breath of God. The wind of heaven, the breath of God himself, the personal breath of God that you're experiencing. So right there in the beginning, it said, and the Spirit, which is Ruach, over 350 sometimes in the Old Testament, it's the Spirit of God, the Ruach of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God was working. It means to breathe. It means the wind of God. It would have been so much easier if the Holy Spirit was named Fred. I was just talking to Fred. It was an awesome time spending with Fred. But sometimes, Holy Spirit, we get this mind block. How do I have this relationship with the Spirit? And even wind, even breath, that can be a bit awkward. Now, in the New Testament, it's in the Greek language, and in the New Testament, in Acts 1:8, it says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That word, again, is pneuma. And in the Greek, that word literally means breath or wind, the same thing. So in the Old Testament and the New Testament, when the writers were talking about the Spirit of God, they were talking about the breath of God or the wind of God. So that's what that's all about. It's all about the breath and the wind. John 3, verse 8, it says that the wind blows. Now, what's interesting here is that it's the same word. It's pneuma. Where other places they would have put Holy Spirit, here they didn't translate it Holy Spirit, they said wind. But anyway, it is where the pneuma blows where it wishes. The Holy Spirit goes where he wishes. The Holy Spirit, he can surprise you. I mean, the Holy Spirit goes where he wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone born of the pneuma. The pneuma goes where it wants. The pneuma does what it wants. And everyone who is born of God is born by the pneuma of God. So it's the Holy Spirit. It's the breath of God. You have an intimate relationship with the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost. It's by him that you worship. It's by him you understand Scripture. It's by him you approach the Father. It's by him, through the finished work of Jesus, that every experience you have in your faith, it's all by the breath of God, by the wind of God, by the pneuma of God, by the ruach of God. Boy, with that big ruach, I almost, you know, needed a cup there. But anyways, ruach. Okay, three significant attributes, three things I want you to look at today. Number one, he's unseen. How many wish he was seen? I only wish I could have him just right there beside me all the time. Hey, Holy Spirit, what's happening? How you doing? I had a really good sleep. Thanks for hanging out. And we're going to do some stuff today. What should we do first, you know? If he was right there, you could talk to him, walk around with him. It would be so awesome if he was right there. You could have your own nickname for him. You could call him Smokey or, you know, whatever. But you know, he just wanted to have that relationship right there where he was. You know, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. The Holy Spirit fills everything in every way. The Holy Spirit is the same Spirit that was on Jesus. That same Spirit is on you. The same Spirit that was on Jesus, it was local on Jesus, but now because of the cross, he has legal permission to fill all of humanity with the power of God. Isn't it wonderful? But he's unseen. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Now, how many know you can't see the wind? But you can feel the wind. Doesn't mean you can't have an influence. How many felt the breath of God in the house today? You know, you couldn't put your physical eyes on it, but in the spirit you could sense, you could feel excitement, you could feel joy, you could feel wonder, you could feel awe, you could feel Jesus being exalted in this place, you could feel the love of the Father for you, new hope, new vision, new dreams. All of that's because it's the breath of God, the wind of God. We couldn't see it, but we sure did experience it today. I've had people come here and I've said, "How was that? Did you enjoy the service?" Never been in service quite like that. I mean, he said, there's something in there. I said, "Yeah, there's something in there, really?" I said, that's the Holy Spirit. He was, "Yeah, well, whatever. I tell you, there's something in there." And I said, "Was it good?" "Yeah, it was good. I'm going to come again." But wow, there was something in there. Hallelujah. You know what? I don't care how cute I could ever preach, and I can preach cute. I don't care how wonderful I could ever preach. There's always going to be somebody who could do it better than me. I don't care how awesome a worship team we had or the best singers, the best everything. If we suddenly built a beautiful cathedral with incredible windows and light shows and smoke and mirrors, woo! Who gives a rip? It doesn't matter if you don't have the presence of God. The only thing that could change you was his presence and his power. That's the only thing that could do what has happened in your life is the presence of God. That makes me want to sing good, makes me want to do everything I do good, makes me want to be a better preacher, makes me want to be a cuter communicator. But it doesn't matter about any of that. It's the Spirit of God that makes it all happen, and that's what we need. But we got a lot of churches that are just trying to do church better and get a bigger crowd. We do church better than they do. Oh, really? That's awesome. You do church better? And who cares? If there's not the presence of God, we will not touch this world that is so desperately in need if there's not the power and the Spirit of God, not only in the house, but impacting us so much that we are infected when we go out in the community and we touch the world we live in. Amen. Say amen, Pastor. And I tell you, it's not seen. It's not something. It's not the clay pot we are exalting. It's the treasure inside. You could have any kind of clay pot. You could have a big clay pot, a little clay pot, a pretty clay pot. But you know what? It's not about the clay pot. But we have seminars and workshops all about the clay pots. It's about the treasure. And we have this treasure in these jars of clay. Hallelujah. Ha! Ha! All right. Boy, it's pretty good in the middle today. It's pretty awesome in the middle. I am feeling it right down here. It's good stuff. All right. You know what I mean? Thomas said, you know, Thomas wasn't there when Jesus showed up. And, you know, then suddenly he shows up, you know, and they go, hey, Jesus showed up. What? No, Jesus is dead, man. He's in the tomb. What are you talking about? No, Jesus was here. He goes, I don't believe you guys. I want to put my hand in his wounds. I want to put my hand in his side. And all of a sudden, Jesus walks through the wall. Hello, Thomas. Dude. See my hand? Put your hand in there. See my side? Put your side in there. And Thomas was like, I believe. But look what Jesus said. Look. Look what he said. And then some translations say it different, but look what he said. He said, Thomas, believe because you have seen me. You have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And some translations say more blessed. So I get people go, I had a vision of Jesus. He came, sat on my bed, talked to me. I go, yeah, not me. Because I want to stay in the more blessed zone. You know, I was taken into the throne room. You got weak faith, man. I got the more blessed faith. You know, I don't need those light shows. I believe him. I trust him. I know he's here. I know he's with me. I'm just kidding. I would love Jesus to walk in here right now and just go, hello, peekaboo. Hey, he's here right now, though. You know, whether he shows up and says peekaboo, he's here, peekaboo. All of him, not a bit of him, but every part of him, he's here. You know what? The Spirit of God, you can't see him, but he's here. Because where we gather in his name, there he is in the midst of us. He is here. You can't see him, but that's a wonderful attribute of God. Because then you got to exercise faith, and you can embrace him, and you can live in the unseen realm of God. Step into what's real, because you're not tied to what you can see, touch, feel, and your senses. If you're always tied to your senses, you'll never have the fullness of God. Because to walk in the fullness of God, you have to have nonsense. If you're not willing to embrace some nonsense, you'll never walk in the Spirit. That's one of the things about the Holy Spirit. That's one of the things about the breath of God. It says you can't see him. But I'm good with that. I'm okay with that. Because I feel him. And I know he's there. And I've seen him. Number two, he's not only unseen, he's unpredictable. He's unpredictable. It says you don't know, you can't see him and you don't know where he's coming or going. That was good. See, that's why a lot of people don't want the activity of the Spirit in their meetings. Because he's unpredictable. I mean, we let the Holy Ghost take over once and it got messy. People were falling down, running around, laughing in joy, and people were set free. People were happy. Can you imagine? It was messy. I was trying to preach, and people were, ah! I was like, hey, stop that. You know, come on. Everybody get miserable again. I'm trying to preach. It says when Jesus preached, they received the word with gladness. Hello. We went to a church, blew it up, and the pastor called me back a few weeks later. Says, I can't preach. The people keep laughing while I'm preaching. I said, that's good. Then you're preaching like Jesus, because when Jesus preached, they received the word with gladness. So if they're not saying, ha, 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 the Spirit of Christ ain't in your sermon. So come on, please, ha, ha, ha. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Acts chapter 2, and suddenly there came a wind from heaven as a mighty rushing wind and filled the whole house in which they were sitting. Can I get an amen? Suddenly, I love the suddenlies of God. I mean, it's unpredictable stuff. I mean, Sharon bringing the word of the Lord today, saying, what'd she say? Said, the winds are going to blow. Sharon didn't know what I was preaching on today. Sharon didn't know I was going to talk about the suddenlies of God, the shakings of God, where you can't see it, but the Spirit of God begins to shake and move. And I tell you, he's unpredictable, but I'm okay with that. Are you okay with that? You know why? Because I absolutely trust him. I totally trust him, and I know he's going to do what's right for me. Can I get an amen, Alice, from the back row? Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm excited right now. Are you excited right now? Oh, I tell you. Come on, tell your face. All right, good, good. All right. You know, the wind sometimes has influence, right? And you ever been, how many like golfing? Two people, that's awesome. How many golf if they can't stand golfing, but you golf anyways? All right, thank you very much. I mean, it's not that I don't golf, it just drives me crazy, but I keep doing it. But you know, there's times when you're out there, it's a windy day, and you're trying to figure out what the wind's doing. You can see the flag waving, and you're standing there and waiting for it to stop. Stop. You know, and then because you're focused on, you know, is it going to stop? What's it going to do? Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. And, you know, you're so freaked out by the wind. It's wrecking your whole game. You know, but you know, don't worry about the wind. It's unpredictable. Enjoy it. It's fun. And if you get all freaked out about the wind when you're golfing, you're going to be miserable. So embrace it and love it and enjoy it. You know, my dad, we had a boat. We had a little boat at first, and we wanted to cross Lake Simcoe once, and we were at this locks, and the weather was bad. Like, forecast was bad, and we had this little, you know, about 16-foot boat, and Lake Simcoe, we'd get blown up. So we'd pull down the channel. All of a sudden, Dad would go out about, you know, 30, 40 yards. All, whoosh, 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 and my mom be in the back, oh, shoot, ta-da-ba-ka-ta-da-la-ba-ba-ba-ba. You know, life jackets on everybody. Ah! My dad's like, I think we can make it. I think we can make it. Up. And my mom's like, ah! We're not making it. So I had the interpretation, Carl, you're crazy, turn around right now. Anyway, but we'd turn around, and we were there for days because we sometimes it was unpredictable. The winds affected things, you know, and it's like sailing, all these things, the wind is there. You know, with airplanes, when airplanes are trying to land, they've got those orange socks or whatever they are, but they look at those, and they can see how the wind's blowing, and it affects how they come in for landing, where they come from. You know, you can't see it, and it may be unpredictable, but you know, it's the wind of God. It's the wind of God, and I like that it's unpredictable, don't you? I mean, there's those guys singing, and they're just praising Jesus. They got in stocks and rats crawling on their back, and they're going, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. This rat's chewing my flesh. It's awesome. But they're singing to Jesus, and at the darkest hour, at the midnight hour, boom, an earthquake comes. The power of God comes, shakes, rattles, rolls. Not just their chains, but the chains of the whole place fell off. The doors are open, and everybody's set free. There are the suddenlies of God that come, and I'm good with that. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm good with that. Come on, I like the suddenlies of God. Bring it on. So we want some suddenlies of God. So he's unseen. He's unpredictable. Number three. Say number three. So you're doing good, Pastor. It's awesome. All right. Number three is he's powerful. He is not just powerful. He's all powerful. Not just a little. I mean, all powerful. And you know what? Just want to say it again. I'm good with that. I am actually really good with the fact that he's all powerful because he is my God. He is manifesting God, the Father's love for me. He is demonstrating the finished work of the cross of my Savior for me. And I'm glad he's all powerful and there's nothing that can stand against him. Nothing. Isn't it awesome? He's powerful and I'm okay with that. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's the power of the Spirit of God that makes everything happen. So he's unseen, he's unpredictable, and he's all powerful, and that's my best friend. And I'm good with that. I'm good with that. All right. Acts chapter 1, 5 to 8. Now here's Jesus. He finishes his 40-day lecture. He's about to ascend to his Father, and he tells him, go wait for the power of the Holy Ghost. So he says, go wait for the power of the Holy Ghost. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days now. So their response to that was, good, good. That's great. So now tell us, Jesus, when are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not about your charts and your lists. It's not about filling your notebooks with all the things that are going to happen next. What's really important right now is that you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to see this. I want you to see this because here's guys who spent all of this time being taught by Jesus, 40 days being taught by Jesus. He says, all right, fellas, I'm about to go, all right? Here's the most important thing for you. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go and I'm going to send him to you. Oh, that's good. Thank you for that, Jesus. Now, can you tell us now how it's all going to work out? What will happen next? And they all get their pens out. And he's like, no. What do you mean, no? Would you, like, how's it all going to manifest? How's it, just tell us how we're going to write it all down. We just need to know what to do tomorrow. All you need to know is get whacked in the Holy Ghost. Okay, that's good. Thank you, Jesus. And I know that's important, and you told us that before. But now, how are you going to work it all out now? Is it pre-trib? Is it post-trib? Is it like, is there an Antichrist? Or how are you going to do all this? How do we work out all the details? I'm ready. It's not for you to know. What? But this has got to be important stuff. I mean, if you're going away, all you need to know is this. Get yourself in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. So that's it. Eh? You're not going to tell us the details after that? No. See, I said that. I said, Jesus, would you tell me and show me how my life unfolds? And you know what he said to me? He said, no. And I said, but why? He said, because you'd never talk to me again. I said, I don't understand. He says, if I told you how it all worked out, you would just go do it and you'd never talk to me again. I know you. I know you. You're a self-indulgent, you know, self-performing little reprobate sometimes. I'm like, what? He says, no, I want you to trust me every day. I want you to walk in my spirit every day. I want you to trust me. It's going to be unseen. It's going to be unpredictable. It's going to be powerful. But I just want you to trust me every step of the way. Hello. All right, say thank you, Pastor. I got that. All right. So that's great, Jesus. We get the power, but we need some more details. All right. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, logos. It's in dunamis. It's in dunamis. Romans 15, 18 and 19. God accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit, the pneuma of God. So that from Jerusalem around about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel. You don't fully preach the gospel without signs and wonders. You don't fully preach the gospel without power. Say power. Power. Wonder working power. In the blood of the 1 Corinthians 2:4, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. We love human wisdom. We get drunk on it. Our soul screams for it. But it's not about that. It's about a demonstration of the Spirit and the power that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What do we need? The power of God. What do we desire? The power of God. What is the world looking for? The power of God. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by your skills and your abilities. It's by the power of the Spirit working in and through you as a vacant lot. He's going to put you on and he's going to use you. Yeah, come on. I'm a pretty awesome guy. I mean, I think God's really wired me with some amazing skills and abilities. And, you know, I think I work with the Holy Spirit a whole lot. Really what the Holy Spirit wants is just to use you as a vacant lot. That's why he's looking for the weak things to confound the wise. Well, I got some wisdom. I've gained some stuff. You know, no, you see, it's that self thing that gets in the way. Get out of the way. Your biggest job is to stay out of the way. Your biggest job is to yield and let his wisdom, his ability, and his power flow through you. It's the wisdom from above that's powerful that needs to flow through us. Can I get an amen? That's why he chooses the weak things to confound the wise. I hated that verse because I thought I was pretty awesome. Said, God, you made an exception when you chose me because I'm really good at some stuff. So, I mean, I know there's a lot of weak people in there, but, you know, you take me. I can help you out. I got some skills. And he said, I resist the proud and I give grace to the humble. Amen. Okay, that was good. Thank you, Pastor. All right. Okay, some people get awkward with the Holy Spirit because of how he's been misrepresented. Now, don't get offended if you're a classical Pentecostal, okay? Don't get freaked out. Classical Pentecostal means that you only have the Holy Spirit if there's the evidence of speaking in tongues. So don't get offended with me, all right? But I think when you ask for a gift and he gives it, it says that he gives it. He said, it's my good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. And if you look at the word kingdom, glory, and Holy Spirit, they're synonymous in the scripture. So if you've asked for the Holy Spirit, do you get it? If you've asked for the Holy Spirit, do you get it? Are you sure? If you ask Jesus to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, will he baptize you and pickle you and saturate you with the Holy Spirit? Okay, now I speak in tongues, and I'm humble enough to speak in tongues. I'm so glad that one of the benefits of being baptized in the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. I'm excited about it. You know why? Because some people don't want to speak in tongues because they think it's foolish. And I think that's why God threw tongues in there, just to freak out the smarty pants. Oh, no, that's gibberish. Those people are crazy. Those, you know, those Pentecostal people, my God. I don't mind the la 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 la. Shuba kadenge gadash de boomboresh today. I don't mind. I'm glad I speak in tongues. I know the power of it. It's working in my life, and I'm so grateful that I can pray the very will of God like fire right to the throne, and he hears me. Bam! I'm telling you, I'm so glad for that. But you know what? I think it's something that offends people's minds. And you know, somebody goes, now there are traditions that say that you're only baptized in the Spirit if there's the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, I understand that, and I'm grateful for all of that. It's just that, and it might be just me. It's maybe I've got the hang up. Okay, maybe me, but when it sounds like, here's the gift of the Spirit, now manifest the evidence. No evidence? Can't give it to you yet. Okay, here's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Come on, I need the evidence, then you can have it. Have you ever been under such pressure to receive a gift? You'll have power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. I mean, power. You'll be a world changer, a world shaker, a history maker. Do you want the power? Do you want to get baptized? baptized in the Holy Ghost? Yes, Jesus baptized me in the Holy Ghost. Show me the evidence. Show me, show me. No. Just come on. Maybe that's just me. But I run into a lot of people, they get hung up, and they're not sure that they're baptized in the power. They want the power, but somehow they've come to the understanding that you don't really have it if you haven't done a, he got a bow tie, she got a bow tie, who shot the pecan out of the tree? And I'm not trying to make fun of all that, but I've seen a lot of people be hindered there. But you know what? Tell me, if I'm going to give you a gift, then I'm going to give you a gift. And all you have to do is receive it. Just take it. And I would much rather, I'm not trying to change classical Pentecostalism or all those things in one fell swoop. I'm grateful for all my friends, and I agree with all my friends. Can I get an amen? But you know what? I would rather call it benefits. You know what? Because when you receive the Holy Spirit, here's a massive benefit that you get. You can speak in tongues. You can. Oh, you have to. You have to. I'm holding it here. I'm ready to get with you. And so people get stuck up on this, so I have to manifest. And yet I know people who've manifested tongues, and yet they can't manifest the nature of Jesus. They can't manifest the character of Christ. There's no fruit of the Spirit in their life. But, you know, they can shooby-dooby with the best of them. Hello, how many are offended at me already? Thank you for that hand. Amen. I can feel the emails coming already. But, you know, I'd rather use benefits, because the Holy Spirit is a promise. Like, if I made my wife a promise and I said, I have a gift for you, but then I'm expecting her to perform in a certain way before she gets it, it's just kind of weird. But you know what? Here's a very real benefit of being filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because everywhere in the Bible where they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. I reckon that's a pretty good pattern to follow. I really, really do. But don't get all weird or frustrated or go, I didn't get it. You can do it. You will get it. Because every baptized believer can speak in tongues. Every baptized believer can manifest the nature of Christ. Every baptized believer can walk in the power of God. Because he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Just even two or three people who agree with me, throw me a bone. I'm really a needy person. Yes. I just got in the flesh there for a minute and needed somebody to help me. Oh, my wife's just, thank God, hallelujah, amen. All right, I'm going to quickly just give you five things, and it is going to be quickly, all right? Say quickly, Pastor. You know, if you look up in the Blue Letter Bible, it actually gives a definition of dunamis. And the definition of dunamis, I didn't make this up, it's right there in the Blue Letter Bible. It's power to produce things, and it's literally power to produce these five things: miracle, morality, money, multiplication, and movement. How many would like some miracles? How many would like some morality? How many would like some money? Yay! Let me say that again. How many would like some money? Multiplication, movement. These are all benefits of the dunamis power of God being in your life. I think that's good. I want to look at those five really quickly, all right? So these are benefits. I just changed it to benefits, all right? These are some of the benefits, the power that comes from working in the Holy Ghost. Miracles. Galatians 3:5 says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. You know, when you get the Spirit with you and the power of the Spirit's in you, you can work miracles. How many had a miracle today? So how many had a miracle today? Like today, you had something happen. Spirit of God moved on you. Come on. It's good. I did. I tell you. Morality. Oh, 1 Corinthians 12. Oops, I didn't give you the reference there fully. It's the working of miracles is by the same Spirit. Working of miracles is by the Spirit of God. That's in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Morality. Romans 8:9. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Does the Spirit of God live in you? You know, the Spirit of God, the power for morality. You don't have to strive to stop all the crazy stuff. You just need to start to focus on the Spirit of God, and he will change your life. He'll work that stuff out, because it's not about self-help and a little self-righteousness program. It's about the power of God that's going to change your whole world. Can I get an amen? It says, now, well, the Lord is the Spirit, and we said that today. It was said also, the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Come on, when the Spirit of the Lord is Lord in your life, there's freedom. Any hindering force is broken off of you because you got the Spirit on you. The power of the Spirit of God is on your life, and you are literally walking in manifesting freedom. Who the Son set free is free indeed. I'm telling you, the Spirit comes to exercise, to manifest, and minister that freedom in your life. And then money. There are all kinds of places we can talk about money. The blessing of the Lord makes truly rich, and he adds no sorrow to it, neither does toiling increase it. The blessing of the Lord. Money, Isaiah 60 says, the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord's going to come upon you. It's going to gush forth from within you. A river of the Spirit of God going to flow out of your belly. And then it goes on to talk about the benefits. And it says, the wealth of the Gentiles will come to you. And so much more. I tell you, when you get lined up with God, you become a magnet for the blessing of God. When you're planted, Psalm chapter 1, you plant yourself in God. You drink deeply of the river of His delights. It says, everything you do will prosper. I mean, that's some good stuff, isn't it? I mean, how many think this is a pretty good course right here? I could go on late night TV and change the world. And this has got power to do it. It's not about self-help and you trying to achieve it. It's about hooking up with Him and watching WWJD. Watch what Jesus does. Amen. Look, the next one, come on, multiplication. Acts 2:41. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to the church. Bang. I mean, the first sermon, 3,000 people came into the kingdom. There was only 120 people in the church. Look, probably something like this church. I mean, one sermon under the anointing of the power of the Holy Ghost, and 3,000 people said, I want in! Man, a lot of us would have to get into full-time ministry in a hurry if that happened. And then the next day, thousands more. The next day, thousands more. And then it said multitudes were coming into the kingdom of God. When you're walking in the power of God, there's multiplication on every aspect of your life. The loaves and the fishes are multiplied. There's a miraculous catch of fish. There's just multiplication on a life that is in line with the Holy Spirit. And then movement. John 16, verse 13, it says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. He's going to guide you. He's going to direct you. You will know what's going on. Nothing is going to catch you by alarm because you'll know the things to come. He'll reveal them. He'll guide you into all truth. You'll have movement. You'll have direction. You'll have access because you're hooked up with the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about being baptized in the Holy Ghost, though. I'm not talking about the Spirit that baptizes you into the body, and I got the Spirit in me. It's when the Spirit's got you. It's when you're baptized, saturated, and pickled. There is an experience beyond being born again. There's an experience beyond being baptized in water. There's an experience at Pentecost. It's on God's calendar. It can't be ignored. It can't be denied. It must be received, and you need it. You can't do the work of God without it. When people start walking in the power of God, baptized and pickled in Him, it will be a people that will change the world in this hour. It's not an option. You're not buying a Ford. Well, you know, I'm not sure if I need to power windows. It's not an option. You get it. It's a part of the package. It'll deliver you, empower you, change your whole world. It's the Spirit of God, the power of God. It's the third person of the Trinity who comes into your world, into your life, and it changes everything. Amen. One more verse. Back to my favorite right here, Catherine Kuhlman's favorite. Listen now. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion, the intimate friendship of Holy Spirit. The intimate friendship of Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Come on, stand up with me. Jesus. Come on, raise your hands. Put them in the air like you don't care. Right now in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name. Father, we rebuke sickness in this house right now. We rebuke every manifestation of the kingdom of darkness. We thank You that the King of glory is here. We thank You that bodies are healed. We thank You that minds are restored. Depression is broken off people. People are set free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And Holy Spirit, You are here. And I proclaim and I declare that Spirit of God, You are the Lord here right now. Would You testify of Jesus in every single life right now? Where there's hopelessness, where there's despair, where there's a lack of direction, where there's a lack of ability to overcome, you know, habits and issues. Spirit of God, You're the one who does that. You're the one who breaks through. You're the one who delivers and sets free. I wasn't introduced to a self-help program. I was introduced to sonship. I was introduced to being a divine partaker of the nature of God Himself. I've not joined a program of 45 steps to the 21 ways to the 38 do's. I did one thing. I made Jesus Lord and Savior of my life. And right now, baptize me, Jesus. Flood me with the power of God. Fill me with your spirit. Deliver me from every foul thing. Bring me in line and in tune with you every aspect of my life. You are the Lord of all right now. Right now. We need your power, Lord. We thank you for it. I know that you're not seen. I know you're unpredictable. And I know you're all powerful. But I'm really good with that. Because this world needs to see and experience your love and your grace. So Father, bless this house, each and every one right now. Right now. Just eyes closed, heads bowed, just right now. Just put your hands back down for a minute. Listen, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I don't want you to go without knowing him, all right? If you don't know him, you didn't say, Jesus, be Lord of my life. He's not your personal Savior. You never made that. You never experienced being born from above. Then I want you to do that before you go. And I'm simply just going to ask you to put your hand up and we're going to pray with you. You ready? I'm going to count to three and I want your hand to go up. Are you ready? One, two, three. Raise your hand very, very high. You want Jesus to be the Lord of your life right now. You want him to be your Lord and your Savior. Thank you. Anyone else? Just lift your hand up really high. Just want to pray with you before we go. It's awesome to see people come into the kingdom. Would you all pray with me right now? Come on. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you that my sins are forgiven. Thank you that you died for me. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for baptizing me into the body of Christ right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, can you just look up at me? Everybody look. Everybody look. Look, look. I want you to know right now, your sins are forgiven. Just like that song, it said, my sins, not in part, but the whole, they've been nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. You're a forgiven child of God, loved by him forever. You know, there's so much more. Somebody might tap you on the shoulder and want to, you know, get some more information from you. Not because we want you to join the church, but we want you to be fully initiated in this wonderful life of being a child of God. And so love you, love you, love you. Love you guys all. You're such a good church, aren't you? Aren't you? See, I do that to the dog. He wags his tail. I didn't get a manifestation of it. I love this house. Father, I love this house. I'm so grateful for them. Lord, I pray your richest blessing. Lord, let us embrace the reality that we are containers, we are carriers, we are living, mobile containers, we are travelers, we are partakers of and releasers of glory and kingdom. Let your power be manifest everywhere we go. So Lord, I just command your richest blessing. That blessing of the Apostle Paul, the favorite verse of Catherine Coleman, I pray that the grace of our Lord and our Master Jesus Christ, and that the love of our wonderful Father, and that the intimate fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you now and always, in Jesus' precious name.